Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. And this is a place where we try to breathe life into your good intentions for God's glory and for the benefit of the things that matter most in your life. Today, hearing stories not only of stronger marriages, financial freedom and success at work, improved health, but also challenges that people are facing and applying what the scripture teaches to how we actually live intentionally every day. I'm Randy Carlson. We're live. My phone line opens to you right now at 888-888-1717. We got to get into this. This is one of those days because we get calls and people have questions. And sometimes, do we want to address that question on the air? Because it's a big one. And today, we just have to address an issue that has come to us a lot. We hear a lot of it over the years, and it has to do with submission in marriage. And in fact, Elizabeth from California was one of those listeners who called to ask me about submission. So if you're ready with me, let's jump into the deep end of the pool and talk a little bit about this together. So Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. I thank you for your ministry and everybody there. So I'm curious about biblical submission is always a tough subject among the church and for women. And my husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and we have three kids, two teenagers and an 11-year-old. And typically, we struggle with when we have discussions or decisions to be made. My husband and I are both very opposite personalities and upbringings. And we typically, when a decision or a struggle is happening or a decision needs to be made, half about the issue and half about the struggle of communication and how to do that. So what I'm curious about is, I believe that the biblical teaching of submission is important. And when there's two heads in a kitchen, one inevitably has to be the last say. Somebody has to make that tough call when there's no agreement. So that's just very, very hard when in my marriage, typically it's that my input is invited and he listens, but more often than not, I'd say he's not going to change his mind. And so I said last night, I said, well, I guess in this one, I just have to eat it. And he said, well, that kind of makes it sound like I always get my way. And I didn't want to say, well, yes, that's kind of how I feel. So I'm curious what your teaching would be about this recommendation of, is it actually biblically true that if that's what it means, when the mutuality doesn't work, it really does end with the husband?
Hmm. Well, that is a powerful question, and Elizabeth, well stated. And the Bible does, she's referencing a passage in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 23, where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And of course, the context there is the church. We understand that the relationship of the church. But there's much that preceded that in the book of Ephesians leading up to that verse on submission. So I'm going to get there in a few minutes. But this has evoked so many comments over the years on our comment line, and I want to share two of them with you. And then I'm going to open the phone lines because here's what I'd like. I would like to have some of you today. We can get some, you know, we can get some people on extreme ends of this calling, but I'd like to have some of you who have really walked the line in understanding what God's intention is, how you've learned as a couple to deal with this issue in a healthy way, in a biblical way. I'd love to have you weigh in on this. And so to you, I open the phone lines, okay? 888-888-1717. We got two comments that I want to share with you. One is Richard from Washington. He listens there. He has a very strong opinion on submission on our comment line. Why don't you take a listen?
Hi, I'm enjoying your radio program. I've been married almost 60 years. I've had a beautiful marriage, and we've had wonderful relationship. And I just want to let you know that I don't believe that there is any such teaching in the Bible that it's supposed to be a mutually submissive thing. A mutual submission is that a woman is to be submissive to a husband, her own husband, of course, and a husband is to be submissive to the wife. The way I read Ephesians 5:22, that it's addressed to wives only. Only verse 25 is addressed to the husband and whatever is following. It does not say that he is to be submissive to his wife. I think you're doing a great job. God bless you. I just pray that the Lord will bless your ministry in a wonderful way.
All right. Thank you, Richard. I do have thoughts on this. I'll get to it in a moment, but I want to share Tammy, who called from Georgia, left a question on submission on our comment line. So take a listen.
Hi, my name is Tammy, and I live in Georgia, and I've just listened to the broadcast, and I just want to bring a point to you that sometimes that seems to be forgotten. I'm a Christian, and I'm actually married to a sociopath, and was told that by counselors, and I've left and come back and left and come back and left and come back trying to be obedient, but you have got to give place that sometimes it is a person's mission to destroy you. And then that is really hard to understand why God would want to let someone else destroy you when all they want to do is be unhappy. No matter how much you try to love them, their goal is not peace. Their goal is not harmony. Their goal is not love. Their goal is not agreement. They're oppositional 24/7. There's no peace. You just have to get away from them. You just have to walk away and leave. You cannot submit. If you submit, I don't know how you survive and submit.
All right. This is Intentional Living. We're live, and I can see some of you quivering with feelings on this topic as you're living it today. And because our time is so short, I suppose if we had 3 hours, we could just open the lines and just hear everybody's opinion. But here's what I'd like. I'd like to have some of you today who have walked the line, understand, have some growing understanding of what God's intention is in a very practical way of how this plays out in your marriage. Come on, guys. How this practically plays out, ladies, in a way that honors Christ. What does it look like when it works? Okay? 888-1717. I will say this. It's in the Bible. There it is, Ephesians 5:22, to the consternation of a lot of people. But and I know guys have used that verse to kind of beat on their wives and say, look what the Bible says. Wives, hey, you're to submit to me, I'm the boss. That's clearly not what God is saying. If you have any understanding, come on, guys, we have any understanding of what Scripture teaches, everything leading up to it, we can't just take one verse out of context, as it were, and say, well, there it is. We got to understand what leads up to it in those words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Hey, do you have the right kind of thinking, guys? Because this is all leading up to him, that verse. He says, be angry and do not sin in verse 26. He says, work with your own hands. Are you an angry person that's out of control? Are you lazy? Is your mind messed up? That's not the kind of thing that a woman in a marriage should be daily getting up and saying, hey, I want to submit to that, or going to be easy to submit to that. He says in chapter 5, walk in love, verse 2. He says in verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 10, which is one of our ministry verse, figuring out what pleases Christ and then do it. In other words, we understand what God's intention is. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Are we filled with the Spirit? And then he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. And then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, in that context, here's what I believe, and then I want to hear from some of you who are saying, hey, here's how we're making this really difficult verse and reality and God's teaching in this culture in which we live work in a godly way. It's in that context of all of these things that Paul is saying, hey, guys and ladies, if we're doing these things, it's going to be easy to submit to one another. By the way, it's in the scripture there, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, and then it goes in to say, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. At the end of the day, in any organization, there's a point where there have to be decisions that have to be made. And sometimes it's a hard decision. Here's the deal. The heavy weight is on us, guys. Because if we're going to make a decision, have to call the shot to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you haven't, if you don't have those other things clear in your life, walking in love, filled with the Spirit, proving what's acceptable to God, being angry but don't sin, working with your hands, being renewed in your mind, submitting to one another, you're a fool. Come on, let's just say it. We're foolish. I've learned my wife Donna is a whole lot smarter than I am in a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm a foolish man. I'm a stupid man. I'm a stupid person. If I don't say, you know, Donna, what do you think? What's your take? I got to evaluate that. We got to talk about it. Let's pray about it. Sometimes a decision is one direction. Sometimes it's another. But we have to do that. That's my take. I'd love to hear how this works in really practical ways in your life. Okay? Or you have a question maybe. 888-1717 is the number. We're in the deep end of the pool. We'll be back in a minute.
Who's your favorite?
Huh?
Who's your favorite?
Oh, you, of course.
And who's your favorite?
I said you.
What?
You asked me who's my favorite. It's you.
Thanks, but I was just adding some favorites to the web browser.
Okay, well, I have another for you. It's theintentionallife.com.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yep, you can listen on demand, keyword search the program archives, shop the online store, connect to social, and even get freebies.
Theintentionallife.com, my favorite.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson here with another Intentional Minute. We're talking about making better decisions. And one of the points on the top 10 list of intentionals is that people who make better decisions learn from other people. Scripture says there's a way that seemed right to a man, but the end leads to destruction. If we look around and we see men and women who have made decisions and we see where it leads them, that should help us make better decisions ourselves. That's intentional living, isn't it? I like to say intentional living is not rocket science. It's knowing what God teaches and doing it. And when we do that every day, good things or better things will certainly happen in our life. So my encouragement to you today, it could have to do with drugs or alcohol, or it could have to do with entertainment or how you spend your money or what you do at work, that you would make a better decision by watching and learning from others around you. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
That's the Intentional Minute for today. You can see it on Facebook, it's on the radio, and it's online around the world. Every day, 60 seconds to encourage you to be intentional in your walk with Christ. I want to say thank you to those of you who are on this journey with us. Hey, life is so short. We're either on track or off track, and on track is an intentional life. And we have something very special to help us stay on track during 2019. From our Intentional Living Center, to those of you who will share a gift today to help us with our listener-supported ministry, it's My Daily Walk. It's an Inspiration for Life devotional, 365 days. And what's cool about this is we created it. It's written by our team here, put together by our team, focuses on the five essential areas of our life. So every day it's going to be either in family or your faith or your finances or work or health. A scripture, some really powerful thoughts, and then a one thing challenge for the day. And it's our gift to each of you who will share a gift with us today. And it's our gift to you as you share your very best gift for the ministry. We appreciate it. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Share your gift. Mention you'd like it there, and we'll get it to you. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-1717. And when you do that, click 4 or push number 4, it'll take you to our staff. Fair enough? Big topic today. Elizabeth started all this. Maybe you missed it. Here's just an excerpt from her call, and then we're going to get to your comments. We've got a lot of calls coming in.
My husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and we have 3 kids. And I believe that the biblical teaching of submission is important. And when there's 2 heads in a kitchen, one inevitably has to be the last say. In my marriage, my input is invited and he listens, but more often than not, he's not going to change his mind. And I said last night, I said, well, I guess in this one, I just have to eat it. And he said, well, that kind of makes it sound like I always get my way. And I didn't want to say, well, yes, that's kind of how I feel.
Mm. Wow. Powerful. Hey, listen, our lines are completely jammed. And we're going to get to the calls. We just had a little technical glitch. It's like Satan saying, I don't want to get you on the air here because we got a technical thing they're working on to get the phone so we can get them from where Sally is to get them on the air here in a moment. During the break, Rob was saying, you know, I have a wife for a reason. What in the world did you mean by that, Rob?
Well, you know, that whole thing in Ephesians about, you know, wives submitting to husbands. My wife and I get that. But there's that other thing back in Genesis where God says that it wasn't good for the man to be alone and that he needs a helpmeet. And the thing that I've found in my own marriage is there are so many times, and it's what you said about your wife, where my wife sees something I don't. And there have been times when I didn't listen to what my wife said. I made another decision, and I lived to regret it. And there's been other times where she's caught things. I'll tell you a story. There was a job many, many years ago I was going to take, and my wife met my prospective boss. And then later on, she said to me, Rob, she says, I don't think you're going to want to work for this place. And she was absolutely right. She saved us so much. And so, you know, I've learned that, you know, that, okay, fine, I might be the head, the buck might stop with me, but I've seen it time and time again. Without my wife, I would have made some awful decisions. And sometimes, frankly, Dr. Randy, I've made some awful decisions, and I've had to apologize to my wife for not listening, you know?
Well, I think Elizabeth points out there, sometimes my wife would probably echo the same thing she's expressed at times. You know, I'm not sure you heard me or that you really understood what I was saying. And this gets back to communication, which I think Elizabeth was pointing out. I think sometimes, guys, we can just be stubborn. We can just say, I'm the boss. This is it, the way it's going to be. It could be because of our personality or our philosophy of life or how we interpret scripture or whatever. Sometimes it's just out of stubbornness that we just are going to say, this is the way it is. I'm the boss. I'm the chief. And that may permeate your life. Other times, it's just you don't listen. Or you don't communicate, you don't understand what your wife is saying. And I would say that the opposite as well. I would say to wives that sometimes maybe it's hard for you to really listen to your husband, what he's feeling. Maybe he's got some fear. Maybe he has some concerns. Maybe he's really feeling the load of the decision he has to make. Leadership can be a difficult thing, and especially if it's not a gift of your husband. Some guys, let's face it, and some women have leadership ability. And I think sometimes when you get a leader and a non-leader or two strong leaders in a family, they can knock heads. And that's why we've got to come back. Listen, the bottom line to this whole deal, as I see it, is love. And that's really what God is teaching us. We've got to have an attitude of love or it doesn't work. All right, we got the phones fixed. Looks like I can get Kathleen on the line from Florida. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. How are you today?
Thank you. What's your take on this, Kathleen?
Well, it's a funny thing because I was on my way home and I heard the opening of Ephesians that you guys were quoting. Mm-hmm. That was my husband's and my wedding vows 37 years ago. And what I've learned in submission, now I've made many mistakes. There are times I haven't submitted, but you know what? It's really weird how communication solves just about everything. The correct communication, a lot of things. And like when my husband and I had to make decisions, I would sit down and I'd say, this is what I think the outcome of this decision if we go my way. And he'd tell me what his outcome was. Because it's the important thing is we got to try and understand how each other thinks. Women, nothing bad against women, because I believe they are the caregiver. They have to think of how do we get to it? What route are we taking? Where men said, I do have to think of that, but I have to think of the end result because of the way that they're designed. Majority of the time, 99, and let me tell you, it's very hard, like you said, two leaders in a household.
Yeah, you can knock heads. Are you guys doing a lot better now as far as communication?
Oh, years, yeah. And part of the communication is not to say what they're saying, but to say how it comes off to you.
That's good. All right. Thank you, Kathleen. I know you have a lot more, but I want to move on. We got a lot of calls coming in. Tina wants to join in, talking about submission in Arizona. Tina, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What's your take on this today?
You know, I have 11 wonderful years, and not to say that everything's always been perfect, but my husband is an Army veteran. And so when he retired or was disabled from the military, it was particularly hard. But I have just found that we make a lot of decisions together. But when he says, this is really what we're going to do, I just submit to that. And I say, okay, honey, that's what we're going to do. Now let's get together and figure out how to make it work.
Is that hard for you to do when you think maybe he's wrong or he hadn't thought it through? Or
it is, because I am naturally a take charge kind of person. I ran my own business and I was very independent, and he was in the Army. And so he's been deployed to Iraq and he was in Germany and I was here in the States. So it was very difficult, especially when he first came home in 2008, to really do that. But practice. I tell people practice makes better, not perfect, because unless you're Jesus and you can walk on water, you should be better, not perfect.
Do you feel understood by him? Do you feel like he hears you when you guys talk about a decision?
I do. And when I don't, I find that we take a break and we step away and we come back. And I say, okay, time for break. And sometimes he gets frustrated. I'm like, okay, well, we can keep talking about this. But what's really going to happen is you're going to get mad and stop hearing me, and I'm going to get mad and stop hearing you.
Now, let me ask
nobody's
you.
Nobody's listening.
Tina, he makes a decision, and it turns out to be the incorrect decision. It didn't work out. What's your tendency?
Well, first I stop and pray, because my tendency is to go, I knew this wasn't going to work. So I had to learn to not do that, because that starts a fight, and that is never good. So first few years, again, very difficult. So I had to learn to stop and pray to calm myself, because the answer is always in prayer. I'm a Christian woman. But I had a hard raising. I had to raise myself. Things were difficult. Not the show for that. So I've always had faith, but it's always been hard.
Okay, Tina, I got to move on, but thank you. You've shared a lot of good stuff with us today and very, very helpful. Appreciate your call from Arizona, Tina.
Thank you so much for letting me speak.
God bless you. And you're welcome. You're all welcome to join in, because we're going to stay here in studio afterward and continue this at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We look at people who are famous and say they're successful. We look at people who are rich and we say they're successful. We look at people who are great athletes and we say they're successful. Well, they are in that area. But they may be miserable in all the other areas of life. And they know it and we know it. And so I'm going to give a very simple definition of success today. Success is really knowing our purpose and living it. That's really what it is. Knowing our purpose and living it in every area of life.
That's one of the principles, 10 things successful people do on purpose that unsuccessful people are either inconsistent with or fully ignore, I suppose. And it's a teaching this month for members only. And I am so happy to see new members joining us. Because when you join as a member, you're making an acknowledgement that you want your life to be more intentional in 2019. Allow us to come along and coach with our monthly CDs. This month, 10 Things Successful People Do on Purpose. February, it's going to be on the habits, the love habits of couples living on purpose. In March, it's going to be on the topic of 10 things that Jesus promised on purpose and what difference that's made. He was the ultimate promise keeper, and we'll talk about that in March. Members, come and join us. If you're not a member, you can do it today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Is the telephone number. I think we've got Rebecca, who's on the line, who wants to join in. We've been talking about submission here. Interesting day today, for sure. Rebecca, what's your take on this from Tennessee today?
I'm from Georgia, actually.
From Georgia.
I have been married for 5 years with a wonderful husband who I've been, I think, being equally yoked with your husband is an incredibly important thing, and I've always said that communication is always a huge thing too, with being submissive to your husband And I don't think being submissive means that you need to be quiet or just stand in the corner and not say anything.
So how do you define it? How does it actually play out? You sound like you're a young, you've only been married 5 years. Are you both pretty young still?
Yes.
How old are you guys? How old are you guys?
26 and 28.
All right, so you're in your 20s, which, you know, our culture today, young women talking about submission probably is not the most popular topic. How do you make it work? I mean, how does it actually work as a young Christian wife today?
It really is just not communicating with your husband enough to just doing, I wouldn't say like doing what he says all of the time, but letting him have that confidence in the Lord where he's hearing from the Lord and that's what he's thinking for the moment. And, but then also like putting in your own input as well. I think today's time, especially, there's all of these women who think that they need to have the last word, and it can sometimes be very damaging to, to a man's heart. So it's just constantly giving in the input and not just putting your foot down and saying, I'm right, you're wrong, but just being a loving wife and not saying, you know, I told you so because you're wrong when they are wrong, but praying for them and letting the fruits of their confidence in the Lord and the confidence of the Lord through them, that it'll actually provide fruit for your marriage.
Pretty powerful, Rebecca. You're wise beyond your years. A young 20-something.
So
thank you for your call from Georgia, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, God bless you. I'm glad you're listening. We're Intentional Living. Lines have been jammed. What do you think? We're going to stay in the studio here and continue this for another program that will air down the road in several weeks. We want a biblical understanding. If you missed the program, maybe you're just catching the last end and you want to know what I think on this. I kind of gave you my thoughts earlier in the show. You can hear it on re-air. You can find it archived on our website at theintentionallife.com. But I will say this. It's in the Bible, but what precedes it is pretty clear. In other words, the setup for that verse puts the onus upon those of us who are in a leadership role to understand what our relationship is with Christ, where we are in terms of the Holy Spirit dominating our lives, to figure out what pleases Christ in doing it. We're walking as children of light and walking in love. Those are the things that precede all this. Love to hear your thoughts at 888-888-1717. It's been good. We got the discussion started. That's all. But if nothing else, I hope you're thinking about what is God's real intention for you. Can I challenge you today for one thing? To understand the scripture from the standpoint of love, God's intention of love. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living. Thanks for joining us.